We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
California! I love this song. This used to bang. Still does. B-Mitch is feeling it. B-Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. It is time of the week. 20 questions with our friend, Mr. Pete Haley. Peter, how do you do? Everybody, make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Pete Haley NBCS. Brought to us via the BetQL guest line. Download the BetQL app today and bet smarter, beat the books. Peter, what's up, dude?
Hello, JP. Hello, Brian. JP, is that the song that we found on that Richmond radio station, one training camp, that just played over and over again? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. That was nothing but a G thing. That was California Love. So, no. That's a tough L to start with.
To the Commodores, and he asked, was it Gladys Knight
in the pit, man.
Right.
Like, dude,
Pete, I have a quick question. Before we get into all the action, I'm going to ask all of our guests this, and then we're going to open up the phone lines later in the show. There's an article in the Daily Star, which I believe is a London tabloid. There is a sexpert that has shared the four simple words you should always say during sex. Do you know what they are?
Well, I know that you love reading London tabloids, so I'm not surprised you've found this article. You read them every day. The four words, how does this feel? Question mark?
Not, you didn't nail it, but you're close. And you know what? That you don't win the prize because there isn't one, but you did well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of a sexpert in my own right. So, and you know, not nailing it, but getting pretty close kind of describes my life in that form. So thank you for the kind words.
And on to 20 questions we go.
Yeah.
Yes, quickly.
All right. We already have callers on hold that want to play. So 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Gambit DC listener lines are open. Give us a brief explanation and let me find my pen so I can take you down to Chinatown.
Perfect. Yeah. So the game is simple and the name of the game betrays kind of the rules here. JP, B-Mitch and their merry band of brothers will all try to guess the random Washington football team player I have in my head, and they'll go back and forth asking yes or no questions, all the way up to 20 of them if they need to, in order to do so. So you guys will work together to try and solve my mystery.
All right, you want to start, B?
You go ahead.
Is this an offensive player?
Not an offensive player.
All right.
Not an offensive player.
Should we just try to guess positions now? Narrow it in?
Is it a cornerback?
Not a cornerback. And also, real quick, when I saw JP at the bullpen on Friday night, I guess it was a couple minutes before when I was in line for a drink, somebody came up and said they love 20 questions. So take that to all the haters of 20 questions.
The bullpen was popping. What, Lamphill?
I have a question.
Okay, sure.
Is it a defensive lineman?
Not a defensive lineman either.
All right. So now we believe we have a linebacker. Did you ask
linebacker or safety?
Okay. Yeah. All right. How many guesses are we in? Three.
Three.
Three already.
Is it a safety?
Yes, JP Finley. It is a safety.
All right. Now let's identify when this dude played football for the Washington football team. As we know with Pete, it's generally somebody that played recently.
It was obscure.
Go ahead, Lamphill.
Did this guy play for the Washington football team during the time when Jay Gruden was the head coach?
No, this was not a Jay Gruden player. But Lamphill, I appreciate your participation early on in today's program.
Thank you.
Should we go? We have a caller on, right? Should we let Miles fire away?
Sure, let's do it.
All right, Miles in Arlington, you're on with B. Mitch and Finley. You are up for 20 questions.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Did this player play in the SEC?
No, Miles, he did not play in the SEC, but thank you for the question and for listening to the show.
Little specific still there, Miles, but that's fine. Was this player drafted, and was it by Washington?
Those are kind of two questions there, so I'm going to need you to limit it down to one.
Definitely two questions, and I was definitely just trying to sneak them both in. was this player drafted?
No, he was not drafted.
Oh, boy. This is going to get fun. So, not drafted, not SEC, didn't play for Gruden. Let's try to figure out a time.
I'm glad we got the SEC thing out of the way. That's always a huge key in this game. Did he play in the SEC?
Well, you know how this team is.
When Lamphill gets to death by a thousand cuts, he usually asks those sorts of questions.
Yes.
You got one, B, or you want me to go?
Go with it, Doc.
I'm thinking we got to figure out. We know that it's a safety. We know that he didn't play for Jay Gruden. Let's just try to lock in a time.
Could he be after Gruden or before?
I mean, that'd be Rivera.
I don't think he'll go that soon.
Be kind of wild if he did. What if he is going that soon? And it's like Jeremy Reeves.
Not obscure.
I think he's relatively obscure.
He basically played damn every game last year.
No, I think he played like six or seven. But you're right. He played a lot last year. Did he play for Mike Shanahan?
No, he was not a safety under Mike Shanahan.
Hold on. There's a little bit of a weird
thing you got going on there.
Sorry. He did not play under Shanahan. Sometimes when I have answers, I just try to talk a lot more because I don't want to just say no. Sorry. He did not play under Mike Shanahan. He is a safety.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Also, Reeves was kind of here. Now that I'm thinking about Reeves, I don't think it's Reeves. Because Reeves was here for a Gruden minicamp before Gruden got fired.
Here's a free one. It's not Jeremy Reeves.
We got to figure out the date, dude. We're going back a ways. Did he play before 2000?
Yes, he did play before 2000.
Oh, this is now a deep cut from Pete.
Wow. I was hoping you wouldn't get to that until like answer or question number 18, and it would have been too late. So this is a little bit against my plan already.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Pete. If it's not a Gruden or a Shanahan, you're already kind of out of your own little wheelhouse. So
he played before 2000. So I'm thinking with North Turner.
Is that a question,
no,
Brian?
I'm talking to JP. I can talk all I want. Now, I haven't said nothing to you yet, Pete.
He would have most likely been a teammate of yours, B. Mitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think asking if he played under Norv really kind of clears some stuff up because Norv coached a while. I mean, Norv coached from what?
95 or so to around 2000 when he got fired.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big chunk of time. I think that's a good question.
Did he play under North Turner?
This is your guys' 10th question. We're halfway through, and no, he was not under North Turner.
Holy moly.
Wow, you went farther than that?
Yeah, I dusted off the history books, maybe.
Wow.
Maybe, I don't know.
Did he? I mean, this doesn't help us a ton because he coached for so long. Did he play for Joe Gibbs?
Yes, he played for Joe Gibbs. I did not go back to Vince Lombardi's tenure.
Oh, man. Proud of you here, Pete.
Okay, yeah, was that Joe Gibbs 1 or 2?
No, that's not a question. It was 1 because he played before 2000.
Okay, gotcha.
Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're looking for a safety that played in the Joe Gibbs era, Joe Gibbs 1.0, the good era, that was not drafted, did not play in the SEC. Whew. Did he play on one of the Super Bowl teams, Super Bowl winning teams?
Yes, he played on one of the Super Bowl winning teams. That is question 12 in the books.
Did he play in the 90s or the 80s?
The answer to that is both, I would say. Yeah, both.
All right.
13 questions.
So he won a Super Bowl, and he played in both the 80s and 90s.
I would agree with that statement there.
All right, I think I have a question.
Was Barry Wilborn a safety?
I think I have a question here that might help. Is this guy currently employed by any the NFL or any NFL team in any capacity?
Yes, he is.
Mayhew was drafted, though.
But Mayhew's not a safety.
Yeah, he's a corner.
So a safety who's like a coach or a general manager and played in Washington for Gibbs.
But he didn't play in the 90s.
Yeah, sure. Landfill, that sounds about right to me.
All right, so that's not what it is.
Wait, what?
Huh. What? Don't try and like reverse psychology this. I'm just answering your questions.
I'm very confused now, Landfill, if you can try to explain what the hell you're going for.
A safety who played for Joe Gibbs, who's a coach or like a general manager somewhere in the league. And he won a Super Bowl here.
Are you disappointed that we're not guessing it?
Kind of. I mean, I don't know who it is.
I know who a guy who's like a president, but I don't think he played in the 90s.
Who is it?
That's the dude at Green Bay. But he's not.
Was he a safety? Mark Murphy?
I'm trying to think, but Murphy didn't play in the 90s.
Yeah, but he said the 80s.
He said 80s and 90s, didn't he? Both of them, he said.
He did say both of them. But are we sure? Maybe Murphy didn't play here in the 90s, but he was still playing in the 90s.
You asked for Joe Gibbs, and he said he could say both.
I don't think Murphy ever played here.
He played for Washington, but I don't know.
You got our heads spinning here, Pete. You're doing well.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah, this is good, dude. It's funny for you to go way back.
It's like when a pitcher, you know, I'm primarily a fastball pitcher, but I just have to show you my curveball every once in a while just to make you think that I might throw a curveball.
And you have to remember, back then, there were 12 rounds in the draft.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, the fact that the guy's not drafted.
But there were significantly fewer teams. So there were just like...
Not significantly fewer.
There were like roughly the same number of picks, and I don't think they had compensation picks. It was an interesting thing.
Oh, wait a second. I think I know what Landfill... Does he coach for the Bucks?
I was hoping you guys would just keep talking and talking and talking. Yes, he
Todd
coaches
Bowles.
For the Bucks.
Todd yep. Bowles.
Todd Bowles.
He's not obscure, though.
Beamish, it doesn't have to be obscure.
That's what
okay?
you said. You pick obscure players. That's part
My
of your damn.
Is,
that's part of your. That's part of your
Brian,
thing in the beginning.
Landfill, run the tape. I said random. Random can imply big name, small name, or anything.
I'm talking about most weeks, almost every week except today. You say obscure.
I say random all the time. I don't always say obscure. We've done.
Have you ever
decently,
said obscure?
You have definitely said
yeah,
obscure.
Said
so random and obscure is not the same thing, is it?
Can I have a quick aside? I love the way Beamich says obscure. That's one of the right. unexpected highlights of my day.
Brian, I don't think you should take issue with me saying obscure.
I'm
or
just
random.
Asking it's you. Just I'm some... just, hey, I'm just. Hey, look, bro. I'm all these people you picked prior to that. All of them together do not have the same name as a Todd Bowles playing in the league.
Well, here's the thing. When I go back into the 80s and 90s, I don't know who, like, the equivalent of Quinton Ganther is. I don't want to screw you guys over, so I try to pick someone I kind of know.
Okay. We got you.
Temple, let me give you my fact sheet. JP, great job pulling it. Played at Temple under Bruce Arians, ironically, who is now his coach there in Tampa Bay, also intersected with him with the Cardinals. Wore number 23 here in his first stint, number 22 in his second. Went to San Fran for 91, but other than that, was a Washington football team lifer. And I saw him in an elevator once at the Richmond Team Hotel when the Jets were here for training camp.
Uh-huh. Good stuff there, Pete.
I think you did well, Pete. I really do. There's two callers on the line. Let's let them have their victory lap. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, what's up, man? You're on 20 questions.
Hey, boys. Yeah, I think Landfill's question to narrow it down, is he still a presence in the NFL? And at first I was leaning towards Mark Murphy because of the comments he made recently about Aaron Rodgers that, you know, insert foot and mouth. But he was too old. And then it came to me that, no, it's got to be Bowles. So,
I was going to go Bowles or Greg Minuski, but I ended up going Bowles. I don't know why.
So
I just did.
What would have been one of your hints for Minuski?
Now, would Minuski, I got a question for you, Brian.
Uh-huh.
Would Minuski have qualified as obscure?
Yeah.
I think he's assistant quality control coach at University of Kentucky.
He's obscure now.
He's obscure now.
Oh, yes, he is.
I think Bowles was very fair.
Man, that was good.
That was a good one.
Good. And we basically should have been thinking way earlier when Landfill started talking.
We should have figured that one out quicker. If it like kind of clicked for me.
I just went straight to Martin, though.
So did I. Maybe that was part of his plan.
Yeah.
I kind of thought you were going to name – I thought it was Mayhew.
My plan today was for you guys to just, you know, kind of blow by the pre-2000s and go – all the coaches, give Shanahan, Gruden, Rivera, just waste your time in that era and then not realize I was doing pre-2000. So the fact that you got there earlier is, I think, was the big key, the big turning point in today's matchup.
Ah, we got you. Good stuff, though.
Yeah. That was good. You got
thank you.
I will give you praise on that one. Although
you do
use the word obscure.
Obscure.
And Brian, I also eat my sandwiches crust first. I also eat like my McDonald's cheeseburgers. I go in a circle around them and then get to the middle. But I won't tell you how I eat my hot dogs because it's kind of like a serial killer, so I don't want to share that on the radio.
I really don't care.
I do care. Well, how do you eat your hot dogs?
Text him or call him. We don't need to hear this on air.
How do you eat them?
This is not a euphemism. This is something I used to do as a kid. I would pick them up and eat them kind of like a corn on the cob and eat all the skin off first. So it was just like the gross pink meat, and then I would eat that.
That is a serial killer way to eat a hot dog. Correct.
You were right, yeah. Brian. We should not have let him say that on the radio.
Yeah, it was.
Do you still do that, you alien?
No, but I told that to Kim like maybe a month or so ago, and she, I think, wanted to move out and, you know, was immediately frightened by what else I could do. So it was something I need to explore with a therapist at some point,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, you need to. You need to lay on the couch, look straight up and say, can I start now?
Have you noticed that Pete references his girlfriend's first name all the time? Nobody knows who Kim is, dude. Just say my girlfriend.
We've talked about it before.
I guess I figured.
See, I don't know.
JP, you and I know.
Sure, JP making sure that people know that Kim is your girlfriend. You know that.
Yeah, that's nice. JP, it's better than when Landfill is like, I'm surprised that Pete has a girlfriend.
Well, but I'm just saying.
After that hot dog comment, we might all be surprised you have a girlfriend.
Yeah, I think she left you already. She just hadn't moved out yet.
Maybe Stallion.
She's not in a loony bin.
Maybe Stallion needs to start eating his hot dogs in the weird way, and that'll get him a girlfriend.
I haven't heard from her in a while. Is she living?
If Stallion goes to Nats Park and eats a hot dog like that, he'll definitely get some attention. I don't know if it's going to be from the authorities or a girl, but it's worth a shot.
Are you still upset about the ketchup? You were very upset yesterday.
Dude, it was disgusting. I was appalled by the product they're putting out there. I didn't even know it was a big deal. I thought I just had like one bad kind of machine, but apparently it's a problem throughout the park, and I am furious as well.
Lastly, do you have any content you'd like to point out to the world?
Yeah, I wrote a story. Some NFL reporter tweeted a picture of Ryan Fitzpatrick's first player profile on Madden 2006. And it's funny. They gave Fitzpatrick like a 68 in awareness, even though he went to Harvard and aced the Wonderlic. And there's a whole bunch of other funny things about his little screenshot there and his skills. So go check that out on NBC Sports Washington. I shared it, and some fan responded, this is a pretty useless article. So if you want to read a useless article, please go ahead and find it on our website, NBC Sports Washington.
Tell that fan it's June 22nd, and you're tasked with writing about football.
Wow.
Yeah. I've heard far worse. Yeah. But thank you for having me, and sorry about the hot dog stuff.
All right, brother.
Hot dog was gross, but 20 questions was good. That is Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington. Thank you for the time joining us via the BetQL guest line. In about 20 minutes, we're going to break down the new ruling from the Supreme Court and what it means for NCAA athletes with our attorney, Mr. Uriak, and don't miss it.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell from my friends over at Paul Hinges Window Installation. And you've heard me talking about Paul and that he was going to be replacing my windows. Well, you know what? He's now replaced my windows, and my windows are even better now. At first, it was starting to have the little trimming around. It was starting to rot a little bit in some places. Hadn't changed them since I moved into my house in 1993. But Paul came in with his family, because his family is a family-owned business. He had his son, his brother, And also they have a good friend of the family that came in, and they basically came in 3 days. They were very efficient. They were quick. They did not leave junk around, took care of the windows, and were gone. And now I can automatically tell you that my air conditioning unit is not working as hard as it was before. It seems to be just working a little bit easier. And now I can put raise the windows up, raise them down. I couldn't even open some of my windows, but now I can do it. And what I love about Paul is when he came in, he was open and honest up front, told me exactly what it was going to cost, how quick they would get things done. And when he put his order in, the day he said he would be at my house to take care of the windows, he was there. So I want you to reach out to Paul Henry's Window Installation. You can get right now they have a special for $120 off for Marvin or Soft-Lite windows when you have five windows or more. And you also get 10% off the Provia doors. You go to Paul Henry's Window Installation, the clear home improvement choice. That's paulhenryswindows.com, or you can hit them, 540-359-6842. I guarantee you, you'll be satisfied.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
B. Bishop Finley back, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along social media. You can follow Brian at BMitch30 on Instagram. Follow me at JPFinleyMBCS. Or follow the show at BMitch and Finley. A couple things I want to discuss. Do you want to guess the four words from the sexpert that everyone should say during sex? This is via the Daily Star, London tabloid.
Please just tell us where it is.
Is that your guess? That's more than four words.
No, I'm just asking you to just tell us.
Landfill, what's your guess?
I have no guess. Didn't you say Pete basically got it already?
But he didn't get it. What about you, Cody?
I don't have a guess.
Do you like this? You agree?
That's what you're supposed to ask?
That's what the sexpert Dr. Emily Morse says, using a simple phrase in the sack is a great way to improve your skills.
I would tell Dr. Emily that you don't have to ask that question if you're doing it right.
He's got a point. Man's got a point.
Just saying.
It's not the size of the boat, Cody. What's that? All right.
Yeah, leave that alone.
So there's one thing I wanted to get to that we were kind of kicking around earlier this morning. I am refusing to get into Ben Simmons to the Wizards. Are we all there? They can't make it work. Like, they contractually, none of it makes any sense. We've been talking about Taylor Heinicke for 2 hours. I want to at least acknowledge this weird rumor that's going around about Ben Simmons to the Wizards, but it's not going to happen. Does anybody disagree?
I agree.
All right. So that leads me to, we were arguing about this earlier this morning. Chris Sims, who is a friend and somebody I like his work, never scared to speak his mind and disagree with people, put out his top 40 NFL quarterbacks today. Now, he'd been counting this down for weeks, so I think he's releasing like maybe six at a time, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The four of us agree on nothing, right? I think we all agree that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that one to me is easy. Number two, I would go Aaron Rodgers, but number two, Sims goes Josh Allen, then Aaron Rodgers, then Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. That's your top five. Number six, probably not the best passer in the NFL, Mr. Lamar Jackson. Seven is Kyler Murray. Eight is Matt Stafford, who we saw yesterday at the B-Mitch Celebrity Golf Classic. Thank you for your time, Matt. 9, Lamphill's boy, Dak Prescott. You know who number 10 is, Cody Betts? 10th ranked quarterback by Chris Sims this year.
Does he have a Super Bowl ring?
I think he has 7 of them.
Yeah. Then he should not be the 10th ranked quarterback.
Tom Brady is your 10th quarterback in the NFL, followed by Justin Herbert.
I asked this question. And this is why I don't really sometimes care to be dealing with certain people. There's not a person out there today will take Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, in a 2-minute offense over at Tom Brady. That's when you got to know what the hell you're doing and what's up. And you say, I'm going to take Tom Brady at 10? I doubt it seriously.
I wonder this. If you could redraft all these quarterbacks right now, who would you take first? You're the GM of the Brian Mitchell Fighting Cajuns, right? Mm-hmm. You have the first overall pick, and you can draft one of these three QBs. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, or Justin Herbert?
Herbert.
I'm taking Herbert.
But it based off of what they've done, the first quarterback pick is going to be Tom Brady.
I'm saying today going forward.
I'm still saying though, but like until he stops having success, I don't want to hear about his age.
I hear you. I wouldn't take Brady first. If I could have any quarterback in the NFL, it'd be Mahomes.
But if we could have any one of them, we basically try to make them on an even playing field. I understand Tom has played almost 20 damn years, probably 20 years. I understand that fact that he won't be playing for 20 more years for you. But if you look back at what you're getting, knowing these things like, oh, we could redo it. It's revisionist history. He would be the first one because we know he's going to go to 11 Super Bowls and win 7 of them. So
it's crazy.
If I know that, hell, I'm taking him. But when you look at people right now, I would say Pat, yes. Aaron is still out. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is still damn good. You know, but when we start looking at the other people, I think
Rodgers is older too.
Every year we start looking at things, and I would say Lamar has to take a step this year. Because whenever he gets to the playoffs, what do people do? They drop off. They make him sit in the pocket and say, beat us with your arm. Hadn't proven he could do that just yet.
You know what would be a really interesting exercise? Look at the top 10, whatever list of top 10, top 15 quarterbacks mm-hmm. are out there. And most of these lists are made for the 2021 season, yeah. right? If you have to draft for the next 10 years, mm-hmm. if you open this age timeline out, I think Mahomes and Allen are certainly at the top of the list. But then I think it gets pretty damn interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, does Herbert jump up? I wonder if Joe Burrow jumps up.
Herbert will jump up. Burrow will jump up. You're looking at their passing skills because I think—
Lamar's still young. Kyler's still young.
Lamar is still young. Kyler is still young, too. But they're catching up to Kyler's game quicker than I thought they would. Lamar's game has to evolve. Can he run? Yes. Is he electrifying? Hell yeah. But teams are not going to let you keep just running. Teams are going to say, okay, beat us. And then when you run, they're going to start taking them shots. So if Lamar Jackson improves 10, 15% from being a passer, he becomes lethal. Because when he goes into games and rarely throws the ball down the field and still his team is scoring 20, 30 points on teams. Because his running ability is something special. But what if all of a sudden he can start throwing the ball as well and don't have to put himself in harm's way all the time?
And it's not all completion percentage because if you look, he's completing 64, 65% of his passes, but he only threw for 2,700 yards mm-hmm. in 15 games. I mean, that is 180 yards per game in a passing league. It's not to suggest that you can't have a big jump. Josh Allen made a big jump in accuracy and in quarterback ability, not just being an athlete. Kyler Murray is pretty interesting, though, B. And you said, you know, the league maybe is kind of figuring him out. He played pretty well last year, 67% completion, almost 4,000 yards, 3,900 yards, 26 TDs, 12 picks. But that offense got really stagnant in the second half of the year. Maybe that's why Lamphill hates Cliff Kingsbury so much.
They got stagnant, and you have a Hopkins. You have other guys on that team that can go down the field. But I think ultimately, if your quarterback has to run around, make something happen all the time, that's putting him in harm's way. And that kind of throws your offense and the timing of your offense off. When you start looking at these other quarterbacks out here who's sitting in the pocket, even Deshaun Watson, who's an unbelievable scrambler, when he's in the pocket and just delivering the football, they seem to be a much more efficient and effective football team.
The Washington football team, how many quarterbacks do you think they placed in the top 20?
None.
Zero. How many do you think they placed in the top 40?
Probably one.
Ryan Fitzpatrick came in at 23rd on Chris Sims.
If you're projected as one of the starters on the team, you should be in at least the top 32. If their backups start being better than your starter, then that's a hell of a problem.
He did crack the top 32. And Chris Sims has Fitzpatrick ahead of Daniel Jones, which I think you can make plenty of room for that argument. So it goes Cam Newton at 20, Jimmy Garoppolo at 21, Roethlisberger at 22, Fitzpatrick at 23, Taysom Hill, 24, Jameis Winston, 25, Daniel Jones, 26.
This is a quarterback ranking. Taysom Hill, to me, is not a damn quarterback. Until he can sit in the pocket for 25, 30 times a game, instead of running the ball more than he throws the ball, he's not a quarterback in my book.
Is Cam then at this point?
Cam threw the ball for 60%+ last year.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting. Mac Jones, he has Jared Goff 31st. How about that?
Taysom Hill is Heath Shula.
I think he is the evolution. I like that a lot.
Future member of Congress. I think that's what Pemish just said.
All right. No more Heath Shuler talk. When we return, let's talk to an actual attorney about what the NCAA big L by the Supreme Court means for college sports this fall.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The law won. NCAA lost. I know that. I want to go in depth a little bit more on what yesterday's Supreme Court ruling means for college athletes getting paid. To do so, we're going to our attorney, Manhattan lawyer, Mr. Yuri Itkin. Yuri, what's up, dude? How are you?
How you doing, man?
We are good.
Doing well.
So what was your reaction when you saw, particularly I thought Justice Kavanaugh's statement was the most aggressive, but what did you think from a legal perspective, seeing what the Supreme Court came out and basically just backhanded the NCAA?
About that, look, this, I think we can all agree this was a great decision and a great result for sports and for college athletes and athletes alike. From a legal perspective, though, this decision is a lot more important in kind of what it says, and particularly in what Justice Kavanaugh said, but not exactly what it does, right? And there's a difference. It doesn't do that much. It just basically says, well, the lower court was right, and that the education-related benefits that NCAA was trying to limit cannot be limited in that way. But ultimately, the NCAA can determine what those are. So the actual effect of this decision is going to be pretty narrow, but the wider scope of it and the wider effect is going to be from how it's going to be implemented and what other lawsuits are going to follow. So, for example, Justice Kavanaugh basically said that NCAA is not above the law. and what it's doing in limiting how much athletes get paid, college athletes get paid, is wrong. And it's got to be scrutinized under a legal analysis. And so from that, it's basically chipping away at the NCAA's authority to make these regulations that have driven people wild for years now, for decades.
I think you're, when you look at it, we look at this thing about this, the amateur athlete status is what they always talked about. Now we find out that people in the Olympics, they get paid stuff, but these athletes, basically football players and basketball players, are still not allowed to benefit, but everybody else is. Do you see this thing changing anything drastically?
It's a great question, B-Mitch. Look, yes and no. I mean, the decision itself, you know, some of these folks are going to be able to get education-related benefits, computers, you know, certain internships, maybe some scholarships, something like that. But ultimately, it's going to be a watershed moment for them down the line, right? So, for example, like the biggest thing right now, and I heard you guys talking about this earlier, is this NIL, the name, image, and likeness regulations and restrictions, right? Where these folks can't make money off their images and likeness. And that's in process already, right? Certain states are saying that's no longer okay. They've got to be able to make money from their likeness. And the NCAA is slowly changing its views on that too. And I think this decision is going to accelerate that and make that much easier for the athletes that we're talking about to get the changes they want.
So is this something that's going to create kind of an avalanche of change this fall, you know, March Madness, like immediately, or is it something that will still kind of get tangled up in courts and still kind of the bureaucracy will have to just recalibrate how they try to control everything?
I don't think you're going to see an avalanche of change this fall. You might see an avalanche of lawsuits. You certainly might see another lawsuit or two before this fall, dealing with the NIL issues and maybe some of the other compensation issues. But I do think it will accelerate things that are already in motion. So, you know, the NCAA, like I said, is dealing with the likeness regulations. And I think looking at this decision, they're going to say, we gotta think long and hard before we do something that is potentially a violation of this decision.
And then one issue that I've always kind of found, I don't know, confounding is how does all of this comply with Title IX? Because aren't there, if the NCAA starts paying athletes, whether it's an increased stipend or, you know, they start giving out computers, whatever it is that kind of starts, because my guess is the initial response to this is going to be extremely small and trying to continue to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to do that equally for men's and women's sports, or maybe the better term is revenue and non-revenue sports?
So Title IX's tricky. Obviously, to the extent that NCAA relaxes its restrictions on compensation, individual schools are going to have to deal with that. The NCAA is actually not so much concerned with Title IX because, you know, the regulations and the restrictions that it has apply to everyone equally, right? Terrible way to think about it, but everyone's restricted equally. So to the extent those restrictions are lifted, they're going to be benefiting everyone equally. And how those things are going to be implemented is actually something that individual colleges have to think about. So this decision doesn't really go that far. And quite frankly, I mean, Title IX, the Supreme Court ruled, I think like 20 years ago, that NCAA can't even get sued under Title IX because all it does is just provide restrictions or rules to individual colleges, and the individual colleges are the ones that have to deal with it.
You know, when I was in college, my buddy went to the Olympics. It was 1988. And when he came back, all of a sudden he was being invited to go to these different games around the world. And they would pay him an appearance fee. And they said that it had to go into a trust fund. And if he were in any serious situation, he could use the money. Why hasn't something like that been generated for other sports?
Because that makes so much sense.
He's a track guy. He's doing it. He's generating income, and he was able to. But a football player who's like a Johnny Manziel, I keep using that. I remember one event, there were nine people at his table at $20,000 per person, and they sold three helmets at $30,000 apiece. In one night, that's $200,000+ that they made off of Johnny Manziel. He gets none of that.
But even not the Johnny Manziels, like, know? What about, like, some sort of 401k-ish type plan where if you're an athlete in a revenue sport, you start to get something. Hell, maybe to continue the sham of amateurism, you don't get it until you graduate or something, but at least you're getting something. Is that kind of perhaps where this could go, Yuri?
Look, I think so. Not immediately, but what you're talking about, I mean, it's absolutely nuts, right? And it's not just the best athletes who are going to be pros and probably, you know, going to be fine down the line. It's the guys and gals who are amazing in college and don't go on to be pro athletes, right, who can generate money during their time in college at, like, a local school, for example, where everyone knows them in the town, right? They're not going to be pros, but they could probably generate thousands, tens of thousands, maybe more, of dollars to provide for their future, you know, for graduate education and so on. So you're exactly right. And I do think that down the line, the NCAA is going to be forced to change what it's been doing, right? It's going to be forced to change its limitations. Unfortunately, it's just taken so long, right? The reality is, and if you read some of these decisions, I mean, the courts painstakingly go through kind of the history of the NCAA. And at first, you know, there were no rules. Then they limited the scholarships that you could get. Then they took the limit off. Now there are actual compensation benefits you could get, right? Like for Bemis, to your point, if you've got an Olympic athlete in college, they could still get paid for their Olympic duties and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things like that in place, but it's just taken so long to bring the NCAA to kind of the current reality. And the current reality is colleges, their member colleges are making billions and billions of dollars off the backs of these athletes. And, you know, some of the higher ups in colleges are doing the same. They're making millions of dollars. Some of the state's highest paid employees are, you know, head coaches and athletic directors and so on.
Yep.
And the athletes are seeing so little of it. And
at least somebody finally said it's a sham. Somebody finally publicly pointed it out. Yuri, we appreciate your time as always.
Appreciate it, Yuri.
Especially the fact that you talked to us without sending us the $1,500 an hour bill. We appreciate that too.
But you can always send it to JP Finley.
That might be lowballing him too. I don't even know what it costs. Jerry, thank you very much, bud.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. That is Yuri Itkin breaking down the Supreme Court decision, slamming the NCAA. When we return, time to talk some hoop. Monica McNutt, ESPN analyst, will join the program. Don't miss it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.